We changed the oxygen tank this morning, and apparently it was just almost empty when we changed it. And so I got here and I had no air. So I don't have any air, Don. So it might be short sermon, but it might be a really long one too. So I don't know. It depends on how many times I lose my place. So that's what he's up here for. Title of my sermon today is Stop That Sinful Worrying. Just stop it. When you worry, it's kind of like having a rocking chair on the front porch. It gives you something to do, but you make absolutely no progress. You don't go anywhere if you're rocking in a wheelchair, rocking in a rocking chair. Worry doesn't help to solve tomorrow's problems. It doesn't help at all to solve problems. It drains strength needed to face today's difficulties. The Bible says that today's difficulties are enough. Today's problems are enough to deal with. Don't borrow tomorrow's. Just deal with today's. So the psalmist calls us to stop worrying. And he says it by saying, do not fret. This psalm helps us with a problem common to all of us. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said of this psalm, it's a psalm in which the Lord sweetly quiets the common complaints of his people. Every one of us worries. Every one of us has a time of worry or a particular thing that we worry about. Some of us have got a long list of things that we worry about. And we shouldn't worry about it. It's in God's hands, particularly if you belong to him, it's in God's hands. So that what he has called you to do will be what you are able to do. David, before he was king, was fretting over the prosperity of the wicked. And he had some problems with the fact that the righteous were, as far as he could see, destitute. They weren't prospering. But the wicked seemed to be prospering. And he took it to the Lord. And this psalm is one of the things that came out of that. What's your common complaint? What makes you a worrier? What do you worry about? In this crowd, I would say the weather is probably right up there on the list. And you can't change the weather by worrying about it. Four words will enable us to win over worry. There are four words in this psalm that will keep us from worrying if we take them to heart. The first word is trust. It was in verse 3 of the passage that we read earlier. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Dwell in the land and feed on God's faithfulness. If you look at God's faithfulness historically to the children of Israel, to the New Testament Christians, to Christians in history, to Christians today, then you can see his faithfulness, that he continues to bless, that he continues to build a hedge around, that he continues to protect. Not all of them, because some of them are going to glorify God by being a martyr. Some of them are going to glorify God by having more problems than anybody else can imagine, and still glorifying God. Trust is another word for faith. The Christian life begins in faith. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Now I realize that's my favorite passage in the Bible, and so everybody thinks that I can apply that to everything. Well, maybe I can't apply it to everything, but I can apply it to this. But there are a couple other verses we can look at. Romans 5:1 tells us, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And that's what we really need, is peace with God. If we have peace with God, then our future, our eternity, is taken care of. If we have peace with God, then our todays and tomorrows are taken care of. And in Acts 16:31, "So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Just by believing on Jesus Christ, you're saved. By confessing that with your mouth, you're saved. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. It is impossible to please God without faith. You've got to step out on faith. Faith is taking the step that God wants you to take when you can't see what you're stepping off into. You don't know the path sometimes that God's going to take you on. You have no idea what He has planned for you. But He knows what He's got planned for you. And that's all that matters. Hebrews 11:6 tells us, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." You cannot believe that God is without some faith. You cannot believe that God has something in mind for your life without faith that He is. Christians are to live by faith. Romans 1:17 tells us, "For in it," that is the gospel, "the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Our todays and tomorrows are taken care of. The peace of God comes through faith. Philippians 4:6-8 reads this way, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. It's saying the same thing. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." God knows what you need. God knows what you want. A lot of times you're not getting it, because he's waiting for you to ask him for it. Sometimes he wants you to just flat out come out and ask. You've got to have some boldness and know that he's going to take care of you. And you've got to have some boldness and ask for the things that you need and that you want. Fear or worry is the opposite of faith. Faith drives fears away. Spurgeon again says, faith cures fretting. Without faith, you're going to worry. And if you're worried, that means that you've got whatever problem it is in your hands. And you need to turn it over to God. And you need to say, God, fix this. And when you turn it over to God, you need to let go of it. See, a lot of times we have a problem and we try and give it to God. And within moments, sometimes we're saying, God, give that back to me. I want to work on it a little bit more. Give that back to me because I think I know what needs to happen here. We don't have a clue what needs to happen. When God answers prayer, he does it in his own way, in his own time. And every time he's answered my prayers, it's been an absolute surprise how he's answered those prayers. The second word is delight. Verse 4 of the passage we read in Psalm 37 says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Now, let me clarify something here. If we're carnal and the desires of our heart are worldly, then God is not necessarily going to give us the desires of our heart. But if we delight ourselves in the Lord and we continue to do that, then we are in God's will and we are coming closer and closer to God in our relationship to him. And as we do that, we become less carnal. And as we do that, our heart and mind comes closer to being in line with God's heart and mind. So that the desires of our heart are the same thing as the desires of God's heart. And when that is true, then God will give you the desires of your heart. To delight is to take great pleasure. We're to take great pleasure in our Savior and Lord. Our walk with him is to be our delight. Our walk, our daily living with him. Throughout this life, some of us get a lot of years with the Lord. And the longer the walk is, the better it should be. What gives us pleasure reveals the reality of our faith. It indicates, it shows what we really have faith in. It shows what we really trust in to take care of us. If money is our delight, we're going to fret at the thought of losing it. If success is our delight, we will fret at the thought of failure. And we'll do that because both of those depend on us. Both of those depend on our relationship with other human beings. And if God's not in the equation, then chances are things aren't going to go right. But when Christ is our delight, we will find pleasure in reading his word, and in prayer and in meditation and just spending time in His presence. The third word is commit. Verse 5 of the passage reads, "Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." To commit is to entrust something to another person or to resolve yourself completely to a path for life or specific task. So you commit to entrust this thing, this desire of your heart or your walk with the Lord. You entrust it to God. And in so doing, you let Him guide your steps in life, guide your decisions. And as you make those decisions prayerfully, and as you make those decisions with God involved, with God leading you, then you're going to find out how wonderful life can be with God right next to you, with Christ walking right beside you. We are to give Him our trials and treasures, our todays and tomorrows. We're real good at giving God our trials. Oh, woe is me, Lord, woe is me. I've got all these problems. Please take care of this problem and that problem and the other problem. And you might list, I don't know, a dozen problems. And then you get to the end of the list and you might remember to say thank you in advance for answering the prayer. But what about the things that went right? Do you thank Him for those? Or do you think you had everything to do with it? At salvation, we entrust our souls to Christ. We entrust our souls to Christ. And our soul is what exists for eternity. We have a starting place with life, and then we have another starting place with life when we come to know Jesus. From the time that we are born forward, we'll live. Everybody will exist through eternity. Some will be with the Lord. Some will be in heaven. And some will be in darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Some will be in hell. We can then safely entrust the future to Him. If we can trust our souls to Jesus Christ, why can't we just let Him take care of today and tomorrow and the next day? We need to let Him guide us in our decisions. We need to let Him deal with things. And we need to stop worrying about them, because that doesn't do anything but take away from our own life. The fourth word is rest. Verse 7 of what we read says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass." To rest is to relax completely. There was a time that I used to hike the Rocky Mountains. My dad and I and my brother used to go hunting anywhere from 5,000 to 8,000 feet. I couldn't possibly do it now because there's not enough air down here for me, and there sure isn't enough air up there for me. And I can't walk down a sidewalk, so I can't climb the Rockies anymore. But I do remember when we were doing that we would be going down the trail for a while, and it always felt good to stop and sit down and rest, because the exertion was significant. We are to relax in the love and care of Christ. Christ loves us. He loved us enough to stay on the cross, and now he loves us enough to continue to love us and gather us up in his arms. Why then are there so many worried Christians? Why? Because they don't trust God the way they should. How can we fret when the future is in his loving hands? We shouldn't need to fret. Resting in Jesus brings peace in daily life. It'd be so much easier, so much nicer to trust God and live that way, and by so doing, to not have the worries and the frets and the headaches that come from us trying to work things out when God's going to work it out anyway. Four words can change worries into winners with Christ's peace. Four words. What part do these four words play in your life, if any? You need to be honest with yourself when you look at this. Remember those words: trust, delight, commit, and rest. Friend, if you're here and you don't know the Lord as Savior, and you have felt called by the Holy Spirit to receive him, then we're coming to our time of invitation, and you are more than welcome to come up and speak with me or Mark about receiving Christ as Savior. We're up here to pray with you. If you've got problems with letting go of your worry, and you need to let go of your worry, and you need prayer with that, then you're more than welcome to come forward and